lots and lots of flyers in the pagoda-like flyer structure close to the intersection of death.
What do we got? Let's see, free meditation classes. Something for art critics in residence. Save now! What do you see, Will?
I see, attention parents, leave a little something behind for your Stanford student. ... Gift card, gift card, gift card! Stanford bookstore.
Let's see. Author speaking. Volunteer in Africa, right there. Yeah, what's striking is, like, how thick it is. Like, how many, like, layers of posters is there?
I would guess more than six layers.
Yeah.
Still haven't reached the bottom of it. Well, they got wet layers in the inside.
Shooters needed.
Dance shows, auditions, parenting and the law. I'm still digging.
I found the base. So that, how many layers would you say that is?
Okay, we're looking at 1, 2,
hello.
3, 4,
what you just heard was Will Rogers and I standing by a large public message board next to one of Stanford's busy bicycle roundabouts. We discovered layers upon layers of messages. And it made me wonder, why post all these flyers in just one spot? There are many ways we send and receive messages every day. There are the literal message boards plastered with flyers. There are the buses and streets lined with glossy advertisements and billboards. And there are the digital messages we post for the whole world to read on internet sites like MySpace and Facebook. With all the ways to communicate a public message, there are just as many to control those messages. Limiting the number of on-campus bulletin board pagodas might just be one of them. The messages we consume define our culture and community, so the way they are exchanged is vitally important. Ever since we have been messaging each other, be it cave drawings or colonial broadsides or Craigslist, there have been different ways to get a message across. There are private messages and public messages, socially approved messages and those that defy social norms and conventions, writing on bathroom stalls and writing in cyberspace, writing in books and writing on the wall. Today on our show, we address these very distinctions and ask the question, what do we get from writing on the wall? Whether it be a digital one or a physical chunk of concrete, why do we feel compelled to share our ideas and thoughts with the anonymous crowd? And what happens when the crowd writes back? You'll hear stories of people who make public buildings their own portfolio, and the unlikely origins of online internet communities. It's not Bill Gates, it's not Al Gore, but pot-smoking deadbeats from San Francisco. Really. Stay tuned and keep reading The Writing on the Wall.